I see y'all nodding. And I was up here last Sunday preaching, I kind of bought forehead. Out there asleep. They won't just nod now. My eyes has got heavy in service before, but y'all won't just nod. Y'all was drooling. Some of that good stuff. Where you get mad if somebody wakes you up. Amen. We're going to start calling them out. Wake up, Travis. Middle of the service. That's what. If I see you nodding, that's what I'm going to say. Paul said over there in Romans, shall we sleep? God forbid. Is that what he says? Amen. Well, it's a good morning to be in church. Amen. Amen. Good morning to be in church. I got a thought I want to share with you. The Lord gave me a few months ago. And I was able to pin some things down. I hope it ain't a mess. I hope it don't ruin your Sunday. I hope it comes across like the Lord wants it to come across. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 42. I think it'd be a help to us if we'll listen. Some good instruction for saved folks. Some good instruction for some lost folks. Genesis chapter 42. Everybody knows the story of Joseph. Amen. How the Lord had a touch on him and his brothers despised him when he began to tell dreams. And he was like his daddy and mama's favorite, you know. And they made him a coat of many colors. And he started telling dreams. And his mom and daddy, they knew of God. They believed in God. But he was telling them dreams. And it's kind of like they would kind of look out the side of their face at him. You know, they wouldn't want to say yay or nay. But they was kind of thinking a little strange on that thing. But his brothers, they weren't that close to God. And his brothers hated him for it. And he began to make statements like, I dreamed the dream that, hey, one day all y'all's going to bow down to me, and my mom and daddy's going to bow down to me. Y'all going to bow down to me. And they didn't like that thing. And man, they began to hate him because what God had done for him and how the touch of God was on his life and how God was showing favor. And so you remember the story where they took him down in there and they made the plan. We talked about this a little bit last week. And they sold him into slavery. You remember that? Everybody remember that? And then they end up years later, the famine comes, God gives Pharaoh a dream, or Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph's able to interpret that thing, and he's going to have, I think, 7 years of famine everywhere, and Egypt's going to have a big storehouse of corn, and Jacob gets to hurting for corn down in Canaan, and he hears that there's corn down in Egypt, and he sends his sons down there to go take some money and go down there and buy the corn. Everybody remember the story? Amen. He goes down there, and the boys go down there, and they go down there and they come back with corn. Remember that?
Yeah, amen.
Genesis chapter 42. Look in verses 1. Bible says, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? Why are you standing around? We getting hungry. We need some corn. You know where the corn's at. Verse 2, and he said, behold, I've heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Look at verse 5. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. So it wasn't only them. Everybody was having to go down to Egypt to buy corn. For the famine was in the land of Canaan. Verse 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now Joseph's done made rank. Everybody knows about Potiphar and all that stuff. Now he's already got down at Pharaoh, and he's made rank with Pharaoh. God put favor in his life. Now he's second in command only to Pharaoh over the whole land of Egypt. And he's taking care, he's the governor, he's taking care of what's going on with the corn. To help folks out during the famine. But they didn't know that. They go down there to see Joseph. They don't know it. They don't know that the brother they sold into slavery is the one that's selling them the corn. Look in verse 10. And they said unto him, nay, my Lord, but to buy food of thy servants come. He knew who they were. And he said, you come down here to spy out the land. That's what you've done. They said, nay, my Lord, but to buy food of thy servants come. We're all one man's sons. We're true men. Thy servant are no spies. And he goes on to continue to accuse them to try to cover up what they had said. And they said in verse 13, thy servants are 12 brethren the sons of one man in the land of Canaan, and behold, the youngest is in this day with our father, and one is not. Amen. I got this thought right here. I started out thinking, doing business down in Egypt. Jacob and his brothers down there, and they had to do some certain things in order to make their trip to Egypt successful. But then I got to pinning this thing down yesterday, and I had another thought for it. So here's the name of it, if you don't put a name on it. How to get the corn out of Egypt. How to get the corn out of Egypt. Amen. Joseph is one of the greatest examples of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And his brothers, I begin to think about them having to go to Egypt. And we always hear Egypt as a type of the world, and it is a type of the world. I mean, Pharaoh, a type of the devil, and he's a hard taskmaster, and you know, and all that stuff. Egypt, no good thing come out of Egypt. But I see that God allowed those brothers and Jacob, and in the end, the whole nation of Israel was able to move down, or to all the people of Israel, they became a great nation while they're down in Egypt. But God used Egypt to bless the children of Israel. You can't deny that. They went down there, and God sustained them through what Pharaoh had down in Egypt. So I'm thinking how to get the corn out of Egypt. And we are to be able to find some principles. Hey, listen, in Genesis 3, verse 17, God allows us to eat from a cursed ground. Yeah, we're saved people. Yeah, we're living in this world. God, Satan is the god of this world. We're just pilgrims passing through. We're looking for another country. We're strangers. This is not our home, but we do eat from a cursed ground. If you don't, quit buying the produce and quit growing your gardens. The ground's been cursed, and God allows us to reap benefits out of this ground. Amen. Matthew 22, verses 21, God allows us to render unto Caesar. He said, render unto Caesar. What's Caesar's? Top of the world. The government of this world. God says, respect them. Give them what's due unto them. Render unto God what's due to God. Acts 28, verses 30 through 31, God allowed Paul to find favor from the Romans while in prison. For 2 whole years, hey, he lived in his own hired house while in prison under Roman captivity, in prison, and was able to preach the gospel. In Acts 28, verses 30 through 31, you read it. He was in prison, had his own hired house, and preached the gospel for 2 years. God allows us to work for worldly employers to supply our needs. Sometimes He allows us to work for Christian folks to supply our needs. Nevertheless, God allows us, while living in Egypt, to get some corn and reap some benefits and some blessings out of Egypt. If you're working for a Christian boss, man, the Bible tells you to work for them like you're working for the Lord. Amen? That ought to tell us something. This is what I've seen every time that Jacob's sons went down to Egypt. Y'all remember they had to go back and forth 2 or 3 times? Every time they went down to Egypt, they came back with some corn. Matter of fact, they come back with their sacks full. Then one time they come back with as much as their beast could carry. I mean, God just loaded them up when they went down there to Egypt to get corn. And when we look at what Joseph's brothers done and how they conducted themselves, but yet erase all the big picture, their deceptions and all that, you know, that kind of comes into play. But get the message on how they went down to Egypt and how they left with corn every time. Yeah. How to get the corn out of Egypt. Amen. Amen. How did Joseph's brothers end up with good favor down in Egypt? Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read this verse. Proverbs 3. How did Joseph's brother end up with favor with man and favor with God? They ended up like that. Favor with man and favor with God. Proverbs chapter 3. Look in verses 3. Everybody got it? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth. You know what mercy is? Mercy is kind of having pity on someone. It goes hand in hand with grace. Mercy is, hey, seeing somebody in a condition like you might have already experienced before and having some mercy on them. Don't give them the penalty that they deserve on it. Show some mercy. God didn't give us the penalty that we deserve. And the Lord's talking about how to deal with people and how to get favor with man is you show a little mercy. Amen. Just because you're right and they were wrong don't give you all grounds for casting judgment. Amen. Show some mercy. God, one of God's attributes is mercy. Show mercy in your life. Every time we get a chance to throw somebody under the bus, well, we throw them under the bus. Instead of saying, well, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's like this, and maybe, you know, Have some mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Truth of the matter is that you've been there before. Truth of the matter is in your heart you're probably just as bad. Truth of the matter is that you've done that same thing before and people's gave you some mercy.
Yeah, amen.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck so you can remember them all the time. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of who? God and man. Talking about finding favor with God and man. You know, if you're going to get the corn out of Egypt, you're going to have to get some favor with man.
Amen.
Now, listen. Take your halos off. Everything, you know, we want favor with God. That's priority in our life. But listen, whether there's lost people or saved people that you have to mingle with in the world, if you're going to get some favor and some blessings, God's going to use Egypt to bless you. You're going to have to get some favor with man. You're going to have to quit being so egotistical, thinking you're the best thing that ever happened, and that it's going to be your way or the highway, or you're just going to struggle along the road a lot more than the next man.
Amen.
You know, it's a lot easier to have a little mercy, a little truth about you, and learn how to get along, you know, him to have friends, must show himself friendly, and get along like you ought to, and have favor of a few more people.
Right.
You know, some people that can help you. You know, there's some lost men that's a lot better off than you are when it comes to physical things, financial things, and job things, and God can use the things that they got, the money they got, and the privileges that they got to help your life out. I know that don't sound right, but it can happen. God used Pharaoh down there. Them boys ended up with the favor of Pharaoh in their life. He done it. I'm telling you. We can see a principle here. How did they end up like that? With the favor of God and man. If you read in Genesis 45, verses 16 through 28, Pharaoh instructs those sons to go back down there. Joseph's already revealed himself. He couldn't contain himself. His bowels yearned within him. He kept deceiving them and hiding his face from them. Wouldn't let them know that. And in the end, he finally couldn't stand it no more. And he told them, he said, "I'm your brother. What you meant for evil, God meant it for good. I'm second in command of Pharaoh, man." And the whole land of Egypt heard about that thing and they liked it. And Pharaoh liked it. And therefore, about 12 verses, Pharaoh told them boys what to do. He said, "Go down there, you lad your asses up, fill your wagons, go get all your substance out of Canaan, bring your daddy back, you're going to get the land of Goshen, we're going to give you the best of land." I mean, they just had favor with Pharaoh on how they went down there and conducted themselves. And then if you read in 46, right there, right when Pharaoh stops giving his speech in chapter 45, the very next verse in the first verse of chapter 46, you see what God tells Jacob. Jacob and his boys has found favor with God, and God's blessing is on Jacob going down there and moving all his substance to Egypt and living in Egypt. He said, "I'll make of thee a great nation while you're down there." He said, "Not only am I going to let you go down there," he said, "I'm going to bring you back up out there again." So we see that them boys went down there and got some corn out of Egypt and ended up being able to put up shop down there. This didn't happen by chance. It happened by way they conduct God's favor on their life, the way they conducted themselves down there among Egypt. So here's some principles that I pinned down, and there's probably many more in here, and these might have missed half of it, but anyway, I think they'll help us. Look in Genesis 42, look in the first three verses. If you're going to bring the corn out of Egypt, get the favor of God and man in Egypt, number one, we must be hungry. You must be hungry to get corn out of Egypt. Look in verses 1 through 3. Genesis 42. Let me get over there. Genesis 42. "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, 'Why do you look one upon another?' And he said, 'Behold, I've heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die.'" Amen. You know what he realized, what Jacob realized? He knew that he was God's people. But he wasn't too good to realize that he needed some help. And he wasn't too good to realize that he needed to receive help from down in Egypt. You know what? A lot of us has got the attitude that we hadn't got to be helped by people of this world. Or by certain people we might have marked in our mind that we wouldn't dare ask them for any help or depend on them for help. Jacob was hungry. We must be hungry. Realize God's using Egypt to feed you. You know what a lot of our problems are? We haven't ever got hungry. Amen? If you'll ever be successful in this world, you have to get hungry. And that same goes for your spiritual man. I remember when I first got saved, and a lot of us the same way, we was hungry for the things of God. And you know why you grew so rapidly, and it seemed like God blessed and put favor on your life? Because you just yearned for the things of God. You couldn't wait to be back up under some more preaching or listen to another gospel cassette tape or whatever it was. You was just hungry for the things of God. And God was feeding you. Them boys found corn down in Egypt and brought some out because they got hungry. They'd have never left Canaan if they wouldn't have got hungry.
Amen.
Never been a reason. They seen the need. They got hungry. We've got too many handouts. You know what? Some of us are sitting right here. Our families have given us too many handouts. We've been stinking spoiled rotten. You ain't ever been hungry a day in your life. And you don't see the need to get any corn because you've always been handed everything. And you can apply that same thing spiritually. There's a lot of us sitting here and we're just comfortable on how God has blessed us. And it's been months and even years since we've heard anything from God. We're riding in on handouts. The preacher can handle it. The teachers can handle it. The people that's faithful to doing this and this and that, they can handle it. And we're just under the umbrella. Not hungry. Not hungry. We rely on everyone else's spirituality. In verses 2, he said they had no corn left in Canaan. They were hungry and realized the only way they'd get fed is to get off their tails and go to Egypt. I read this in a fortune cookie one time and it made sense. Amen. Y'all believe in fortune cookies? Good common sense. Every once in a while, you know, I know y'all read your horoscopes and stuff. I don't. Amen. I fast. Never. The best way to the top is to get off your bottom. Amen. You can apply that physically and spiritually.
Amen.
If you want God to do something with you, you're going to have to get off your tail spiritually and get in that book and get busy for God and desire the things of God. Be hungry for the things of God. If you're going to do good on your job and down in Egypt, bring some corn out of Egypt, you're going to have to get off your tail. You ain't God's gift to the universe. You're going to have to get off your tail, be prompt, be on time, work like you're supposed to, do what you're told, and you'll get some corn out of Egypt. You ain't hungry, so you show up late. Or you don't show up. And you think you're in charge when you do show up. And you think nobody's going to tell me what to do. I run the show. You're not hungry. In the back of your mind, you got plan B, and you'll be flat on your face. You better be hungry if you want to get some corn out of Egypt. Physically and spiritually. You must be hungry to get corn out of Egypt. Number two, look in verses 6. 42 verses 6. Not only should we be humble, we must be humble. Hungry. Must be hungry. I done give you my second point. Number two, we must be humble. We must be humble. Listen, that's a big thing. You must be humble if you want the favor of God and the favor of man. You'll never pull the corn enough to sustain you out of Egypt if you're not humble.
Amen.
Look at what he said in verses 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold all the people. You better realize that. It ain't you. You're dependent on somebody else. Not only are you dependent on God, but you're dependent on people in this place. And right now we're talking about the way I'm seeing it is your employer.
Right.
You're dependent on somebody. Ted, make you dependent on those people that are subcontracting that stuff out to you. If they end up getting somebody else because of the way you conducted yourself, you're shot. You mess your name up, you're shot, it's over with. And I'm in the same boat. I worry about what my contractors think about me and my crew and my faithfulness to being there on time, doing our work, putting quality work out, how I do my business transactions. All that stuff matters on how I conduct myself. And I have to be humble. I have to eat crow a lot of times. I have to listen to my instructions. And I have to do what they want me to do, not what I want to do. Because it might just happen just for a little while, but they end up shopping and getting somebody else. You got to be humble. Our livelihood depends on it. And yeah, God's going to bless you, but God's going to bless you by using common sense and being obedient to what He says. You ain't going to go out and be disrespectful to people, and God bless that. God ain't going to bless it. And God ain't going to bless a lazy man. He'll bless a hungry man. He'll bless a humble man. In verses 6, he says, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. So if Joseph don't sell them anything, they don't get anything. Joseph might have the influence on the man down there that he's put on selling to the people that comes out of Canaan. Now, you take care of this. But Joseph could say, hey, don't sell them boys come from Canaan, because I really don't like how they done me. I don't like how they've been operating. They dishonest. They prideful. They wouldn't listen to nothing years ago when I tried to tell them. And they snakes in the grass. And you believe people ain't got an influence on how you operate and what you do? Word of mouth will hurt you, or it could make you. It could. I believe most of the work that we get, thank God, come from the word of mouth. That's how it travels. Look what he said. It was him that sold all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. You know what that is? That's humility. That's humility. Hey man, we come down here and we hungry, and we know that you got the corn, and we bow down to you, and we willing to do whatever it takes to make a trade, do some negotiating to get some corn out of Egypt, because we hungry. And all our little ones back home's hungry. Our wives are hungry. Our daddy's getting old. He needs some corn. We need some corn. And we're going to bow down to Joseph, or the governor of the land. They bowed themselves down. You mark this down, and I wrote it. That's what I said when I pinned it down. You will never find favor with God or man thinking you God's gift to the universe. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. God won't be within 100 miles of your ministry thinking that you are the most one that is, and it's your way or the highway. Amen. God put us here to help people. Amen. And we got to figure out how to connect and relate to the people that we're around. You're going to have to figure that out. Let God deal with your heart, and you're going to have to conduct yourself in a way to where you're on ground level with folks. All the handouts were gone in Canaan. Jacob's boys were hungry, and the only way to get help was to get humble. When your pride has run its course, you'll get humble. Amen?
Amen.
When you get humble, you'll have an attitude of gratitude. You'll be thankful. You go to that job in the morning, and you're thankful for your job, you'll whistle while you work. You need to get the attitude that God gave me this, and I need to get off of my ego and off of my pride, and I need to work like I'm working for the Lord. That's what God said to do. And if God wants me gone from here, God will move me from here. Until then, I'm going to work with a good spirit and a smile on my face and do exactly what I'm told to do. That's God's way. That's humble. That's being hungry. You get hungry, you'll wake up early in the morning, be there on time because you're scared somebody else is going to get your job, and you'll be humble. You'll do everything that's asked for you to do. Handouts get gone, what you going to do then? Going to wish you'd have been humble. You might have a couple of fans that support the way you conduct yourself. But when they're washed out, what's going to happen? You know what? At one time, Jacob's sons wouldn't bow to Joseph come hell or high water. I mean, they sold him into slavery, put him in a pit, cut that. I mean, messed their daddy all up. I mean, one thing you do your little brother like that, but then you go down and break your daddy's heart with a bloody coat. Man, them boys is wicked and evil. You know why? Because of pride. All they had to do is say, hey, maybe God is on this boy's life. Maybe he is. If it be a God, it'll come to pass. If not, it be a naught. We're just going. We ain't going to touch him because we think, no, they had too much pride. Too much pride. But you know what? God knows how to humble you.
Amen.
And you know what? You don't want to wait on God to humble you.
Amen.
It'd be good for you to just go ahead and humble yourself first. You go ahead and humble yourself first and let God make and mold and pave your life. But you go about it your way and let pride take its course, you're going to mess around and be flat in your face and miss a bunch of years of your Christian life. You know what? When they got hungry, they got humble. I thought about this. The bum on the corner that you pass two or three times a week, he got hungry and he lost all his pride. Hey, God gets you to that point, it ain't going to matter. Man, you're going to be the shame of the community, the shame of the neighborhood, the shame of the family. But you can get so low that that don't matter. You'll get your sign and write, "We'll work for food." That's humility. That's all your old buddies, all your family, all your old girlfriends riding by the street corner and seeing you out there all gruffy and hungry and dried up in humility begging bread. Just get that picture. I'm telling you, I ain't telling you you're going to be on the street corner. I'm telling you, that's what that man on the street corner had to do. He got hungry, and along came humility if he wanted some help.
Amen.
That's a bad way to be in. He got hungry and lost all his pride. The sons of Jacob didn't bust up down in Egypt and let Joseph and everyone else know that they were the chosen seed and deserved all the corn that they could get out of Egypt. That ain't what they done. We deserve this. We God's people. Y'all got corn. Y'all need to give it up and give it to us. No, they went down there and they bowed themselves before Joseph and wanted some corn. They got in line in verses 5 in chapter 42. You see that right there. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. They got in line with everyone else and conducted themselves with humility. That's what they done. They got hungry. And they got humble. So not only you got to get hungry, you got to get humble. I'm talking about being able to bring corn. Yeah, you can do what you want to. I'm just giving you some Bible principles on how to get some favor with man and how to have the favor of God in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Number 3, we must be honest. You got to be hungry. You got to be humble. And you got to be honest. You know what? When I leave out of Egypt, I don't want my sack a quarter of the way full. I come down there with some sacks open and some beast that could carry a load, and I want to do everything I can next week on Friday, everything that I can stuff in my bags be in my bags. You understand that? That's what I want. And the same thing with the Lord. I want to be hungry for what God's got for me. I want to be humble enough to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. And I want to be honest with Him. There was a time in Jacob's son's life that they were dishonest. Remember how they lied to their daddy? Was dishonest with everybody? Went back. Wonder how long they had to live that lie. How long they went out? How many years? Does anybody know how many years it was from the time they sold him to the time they had to go down there? It was a few years. And the whole time, it's kind of like somebody getting, you know, murdering somebody, getting away with it for 20 years. And they lived 20 years with that thing on their mind. These boys had sold Joseph into slavery and was down there living a dishonest life all those years. All those years. And we got Christians sitting on our church pews. And you know the reason why? God's wanting to take you places. And what I mean by take you places is, hey, allow you to do things for Him. Allow you to be a testimony. Whatever it is in your life, your person might be a ministry, whatever it is, but you've been sitting there on a pew living dishonest all these years, not coming clean with God, telling you sorry for the things that you've done, and let Him use you. It's dishonesty. And God's not going to bless it. They lived a lie. The Lord knows how to get us to be honest. I mean, they lived that line. They'd have never thought that one day I'm going to have to end up going down there before the boy that we sold into slavery, and he's going to be second in command, and we're going to have to bow down to him anyway. They never thought that, but God knew how to get them honest. I've seen people you witness to for years, and you try to get them saved, and they reject God, and God brings something in their life. God knows how to get them honest. He knows how to humble them down, and He knows how to get them honest. God will put things in your life. You'll be begging God for mercy. You'll be begging God to come clean with Him. God, I'm sorry. Please, God, take some of it off of me. God knows how to get you honest. You know what would have happened if Joseph would have caught them being dishonest? He'd have said, they're just like the rest of them. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't deal with them. They're crooks. But every time they went down there, now, once they had to depend on Joseph in Egypt, every time they went down there, they was honest. When he'd ask them a question, where's your younger brother? Where's your daddy? Where is this? They said, man, we're not spies. We are 12 sons of one man. He's down there, and I'm telling you, we're telling you the truth. They went down there and somebody had hid something in their bag. They took that thing back and doubled the money. They said, man, we did not take this. We don't know what happened, and here's some more money to go along with it. Them boys, they're honest with Joseph. Honest. And every time they left them down there, they left with their bags full. and favor. I don't mind helping someone as long as they're being honest. I remember not too long ago, I mentioned the guy's name. Black guy run up on the streets and he wanted 50 cents to go with the money he had to go get him a TV dinner and Food Line. And I began to talk to him and he began to come clean with me and told me his problems, told me why he was on the streets. His old lady kicked him out. Wife, if that offends y'all, old lady don't mean old lady in redneck. It means my beautiful wife. Exactly. And he began to tell me that his wife, girlfriend, whatever, kicked him out because he was on the bottle and he was this and that. And he come clean with him. And I was willing to help the guy instead of him trying to use trickery and lie and be just like everybody else. And that's what Joseph would have told about them boys. He's just like the rest of them. Leave him alone. The only way you'll find favor with God and man is being honest. I'll say this about your spiritual life and probably about your physical life too. Is you won't go one inch further with God in your Christian life without being honest. You got to be honest with Him.
Amen.
You got to tell God your fears. God, there ain't no way what you're trying to call me to do I can do. I'm scared of it. I don't want to do it. I have pride. I feel like I'm prideful. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I'm prideful. And I've been finding myself the last couple of months is just having to apologize to the Lord for being so prideful. I'm just being honest. And I feel like if I be honest with God, God will do something with it. God, I don't want you to break my back and put me in a wheelchair for being prideful, but God, will you help me with my pride? I feel like I take the credit for everything. Comes to my family, comes to the ministry, comes to everything. It's always about Ronnie Wayne. And I find myself trying to be honest with God because I want to go further. But I know if I got something in my heart that's keeping me from being clear with God, that I'm not going one smidgen further with the will of God in my life. And so if God wants me to go further, I want pride out of my life. I want to be humble. I want to be hungry. I want to be honest. You ain't going one inch further until you get honest. Are you hungry, humble, and honest? If you want to bring the corn out of Egypt, physically or spiritually, you're going to have to be hungry, humble, and honest. This is the key to having man in God's favor while living in Egypt. Amen. Hope it was a help to you this morning. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you for God just coming up with the plan of salvation and the family of God. And Lord, being able to be Christians. God, we thank you for that. God, I pray that you'd help us while we live here. God, to use every resource and every benefit, Lord, you put before us. God, teach us, God, how to conduct ourselves. God, to do your will while we're living this Christian life. Thank you for saving us. Forgive us for where we failed you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You're at liberty. Take a break.